I'm going to have Patty read again. She's going to read from her chapter. It's called My Lady Darbinville, yes?
Yes.
Yes. Which is a song written about her by Cat Stevens.
Yes.
Yes.
That's the ultimate to have a righteous song.
Yes.
She's had many songs written.
Sure. Okay. I was in London modeling and went to Sir William Pickett Brown's country house one beautiful sunny Saturday, Patty begins wistfully. Steve Winwood was there, Eric Clapton, Ginger Baker, Jimmy Page. Everywhere you looked, there was an amazing musician. I used to be painfully shy, which should probably come as a huge surprise to you. I eventually overcame it because it was really getting in my way. But to this day, the only person I've ever been tongue-tied around completely was Jimmy Page. He was the most gorgeous man I'd ever seen in my life. He must have thought I didn't like him, but the words just wouldn't come. Jimmy Page was like a painting, therefore I was unable to say a word. There was a less daunting fellow at the country house that day. Across the room, I saw this wan, thin, dark guy smoking a cigarette. We just stared at each other. Then I went over and asked him for a cigarette, and he told me he had just gotten out of the hospital with tuberculosis. I said, well, and you're smoking? And he told me that his hit record was peaking, and he started coughing up blood, and, you know, yeah, he was in the hospital. And he talked about his parents. His mother was Swedish, and his father was Greek, and I had no idea who he was. Patty had been dating singer Barry Ryan, who was in a group with his twin brother Paul, who had just happened to be best friends with Cat Stevens. I walked in one evening with Barry.
Sorry.
Yeah. I walked in one evening with Barry, and there was the dark guy from the party playing guitar with Paul, and he smiled at me. He started coming over more and more, and there was flirting going on every time, but Barry was absolutely clueless. Then one day, a whole group of us went to an amusement park. I'm afraid of heights, and there was this ride with two buckets that went up and down and around at top, and I'd never even been on a roller coaster. Well, anyway, nobody would go on with Steven. His friends never called him Cat. And when he said, who's going on with me, I said, I'll do it! It felt like I was going to the chair. The bucket started swinging, and I held on to him, and I wouldn't let go, and he held me tight. And it was the first time since we'd been eyeing each other that we finally got to be alone together. It was extraordinary, and by the time the ride was over, I was totally in love with him, and he was in love with me. Those were such innocent days. You know, on a ride. Hello. Okay. The would-be sweethearts didn't know how to break the news to the twins, so Stephen just kept coming to the house to play a good guitar with Paul. And one day, Patty and Stephen found themselves alone. He said, come on, let's get out of here. And we went to Hampstead Heath and spent the whole afternoon together. We rolled down hills, kissing in the grass. It was such a beautiful summer day in London, simply gorgeous. Ooh.
She's tearing up.
Cute. Anyway, we went back to his flat, which, well, it was a nice day. We went back to his flat. Where am I? Back to his flat, right, which overlooked his father's Greek restaurant. His bedroom was painted all red, and the only thing in it was a bed and a piano. His father had a thick Greek accent, and his mother had a thick Swedish accent, which was really bizarre. So Stephen and I were in bed together, trying to figure out, now what are we going to do? Because I wasn't going back to Barry's, and Stephen's best friend was Paul and Barry's twin brother, so I finally said, I guess we're going to have to tell them. So I called Barry and said, I can't see anymore. I met someone else. He was heartbroken and wanted to know who it was, and I just said, you don't know him. Patty kept her own flat, but spent most of the time in Stephen's small red bedroom. Of course, I have to ask if he was good in the sack. He was terrific. He was put together very well. A little thin, but back then I liked him thinner than I do now. I just liked everything about him. He was very into it, and we stayed together for quite a while. Somebody told him he looked like a cat once, and then he started to use that instead of Stephen Dimitri Yordiou. It was very clever because that's how we'd know if somebody really knew him. He'd get phone calls going, is Kat there? And then he'd say, yeah, he is, but no, okay. He was very easy to talk to, compassionate, and very passionate. He played music for me all the time. We'd be in bed, and all of a sudden, he'd have to get up and write lyrics down. I'd be laying there and hear the first couple of notes, like the beginning of Maybe You're Right or Wild World, the songs he wrote for me. He had a guitar, but he always wrote on the piano. We watched the first moon landing together. It was close to his 21st... It was his 21st birthday, actually, July 21st, 1969. And we were laying in bed and watching men walk on the moon. The passionate songwriter who later embraced the Muslim religion and changed his name to Yusuf Islam was once a naughty boy. Yeah. For some reason... But this is weird because they are. These Englishmen have this thing about schoolgirls anyway. So a lot of Englishmen have this thing about English schoolgirls, Patty smiles. I was modeling, and one day I came back from a go-see wearing a miniskirt. Well, a mini belt, actually. It was so short. It was about 3 in the afternoon, and I guess Stephen had just driven by a school that let out. And he said, come on, I'm going to take you somewhere and buy you something. So he took me to Marks and Spencer, a department store up on the West End, and we went into the section where they sold the school uniforms. We started play acting, and Stephen told the sales lady, I have to buy this little girl a school uniform. She's the daughter of one of my friends. Can you fit her, please? The woman was very officious and middle-aged, grandmotherly type. Here we were, and this 21-year-old Greek kid, and this however-the-hell-old-I-looked young girl. I mean, I was really flat-chested, stick straight like a boy, and I was supposed to be going into 7th or 8th grade, but must have looked about 11. Every time the woman went to get another piece of the uniform, he'd say, I can't wait to put that skirt up and bend you over the car, maybe even before, maybe in the elevator. He got me a white blouse and a blue and gray plaid skirt with a little blue sweater and blue knee socks. It was fun. And then we got those snub-nosed Mary Jane shoes, a little hat, and a school satchel. I swear to God, the whole nine yards. It was amazing. He spent a fortune on this uniform. Anyway, okay. I tell Patty that I'm tickled that he took the playful ploy so far. Oh, yeah, soup to nuts, baby. Underwear, little girl's T-shirt, little white panties, all regulation. Then he told me to walk to the next corner. He said, go ahead, I'll get the car, and you stand on the corner and wait for me. And when you see me drive by, pretend you don't know me. Just walk down the street, and I'll follow you. Then you decide when to get in. Well, I wanted to hop in the car immediately, but I decided to make him crazy. I must have walked 3 blocks by all those little crooked alleys, and then he motioned me into an alley near Leicester Square, if memory serves. It was about 6 in the evening, twilight time, and I lifted up my schoolgirl skirt and pulled down my little white panties, and we had at it. We did it right on the hood of his car. Imagine that. Sometimes I let him take it all off, and because I couldn't wear the school uniforms to concerts or clubs with him, I'd wear just the understuff. He liked me to wear the white panties, and so did I.
We sure had us some fun.